80. Marcus. Living had always felt dangerous, like tempting fate, given how much he had to lose, how much he'd lost already. A far better thing to focus on what would allow him to keep breathing, to keep his men breathing, than to set his sights on more. Except now more was what he had. Tariana in his arms, her lips pressed to his, her laughter in his ears. Going back to the way he'd been before would be like seeing color for the first time, only to blink and find the world once more cast in shades of gray. So he shoved away practical thoughts about wasting precious coin and allowed her to drag him from game to game, the delight on her face as she tried her luck greater than any prize.
"Look at all that candy,"
she murmured, stopping in front of a booth that had a table with a large jar of colored jellies, before which sat a puzzle made of twisted pieces of metal. As they watched, the Cybernese villagers paid copper pennies for a chance to win the jar, all of them eventually giving up in frustration.
"I'm going to try," she said. "Give back one of the coppers I gave you. I've spent all mine."
He gave her the coin and then leaned against the post, holding up the canvas over the booth, watching her dark brows knit with concentration as she worked the pieces of metal this way and that, attempting to solve the puzzle. As the minute glass ran down to its last grains, she scowled, tossing the puzzle on the table with a metallic thud.
"This one's definitely rigged. There's no solution."
The owner of the game only chuckled, having already pocketed her coin.
"Anyone else care to try?"
Everyone around shook their heads, muttering that there was no solution and that the man was conning them out of their coin. Giving Tariana a wink, Marcus said, "I'll try." She shrugged.
"Your copper."
Handing the coin to the man, Marcus waited for him to turn over the timer. Then he stepped closer to the light, his eyes running over the pieces of metal, the sounds of the festival growing distant as he considered the puzzle.
"Not going to solve it by standing there staring at it, boy," the man said. "You'd have been better off."
Marcus twisted the puzzle and gave it a little shake, and the pieces came apart in his hands. The man gaped at him, then laughed.
"Seen this one before, have you?"
"No." Marcus handed over the pieces. "Just a knack for finding solutions. You can give the candy to the lady." Tariana's eyes shifted to the vibrant turquoise of tropical seas as she accepted the jar. Then she untwisted the lid, allowing those around to take some before grabbing a handful.
"Try them,"
she said around a mouthful of candy.
"They're good."
"They're bad for your teeth," he informed her. But when she cast her eyes skyward, muttering that he was hopeless, he laughed and took a handful, eating them one by one as they walked.
"It hardly feels as though we're in the Empire," she said. "This place feels uncorrupted."
"Most of the people here speak Sel," he said, "and they use Empire coinage. And if it were summer, I'm sure there'd be Sel merchants here. Definitely messengers traveling the teeth." She huffed out an annoyed breath.
"You know what I mean. It doesn't feel like Mother Earth is looming over their shoulders, policing every move. Like in Celendriel, where there's legionnaires on every corner glowering at everyone."
"Would you prefer they smiled at everyone? Because sometimes people take smiles the wrong way."
"You are driving me insane. And I need to go find a privy," she said. "Hold my candy, but don't you dare eat it all."
"Not a piece," he promised, then lowered the jar, pretending not to notice as giggling Cybernese children took the rest of the jellies and shoved them into their mouths before racing off. Leaning against a wooden post wrapped with garlands, he watched the Cybernese dance around the fire, holding his hands up in defeat when two men tried to push another of the little glasses of liquor into his hands. And instead of joining in the conversation, he observed. He rarely saw groups of people like this, relaxed and happy and entirely at ease. The presence of Legion men always put people on edge, his presence worst of all, though he'd never realized how much so. This was a good place. A good life, hard, but honest. He envied them in that. Tariana had reappeared from across the square, but was waylaid by a group of young girls. One of them asked her something, and from the way Tariana's smile broadened, her eyes growing wide and expressive, he knew she was telling them a Marin yarn. Then his skin prickled, some sixth sense telling him he was being watched. Lifting his head, Marcus scanned the festival before turning to the darkness beyond the village, trying to determine what had triggered the sensation. In the distance, a dog barked, then whined, the sound abruptly cutting off. And he knew. He lunged in Terriana's direction, pushing into the crowd, but before he made it two paces, legionnaires burst from the darkness.
On the ground! On the ground!
The Cybernese villagers screamed, dropping to their stomachs in the muddy snow. Marcus kept going. He couldn't let them catch Terriana. Then a blow caught him between the shoulders, sending him sprawling.
I sat on the ground.
A deep voice sounded from behind him, and a foot came down hard between Marcus's shoulders, pressing him into the mud. Lifting his face, he searched for Terriana, relief flooding him as he caught sight of her beneath a wagon, hiding with the little girls.
Now, what do we have going on here?
A voice speaking in clear Cybernese cut through the night, and Marcus turned his face to watch a legionnaire stride into the center of the village square. A centurion was his best guess, though the men wore heavy garments that covered their armor. He racked his brain, trying to recall which legion was stationed in Western Cybern. Not that it mattered. The centurion pulled back his hood, revealing the face of a man in his late 30s with ivory skin and bright red hair. Cybernese by birth, though Lesendor in decades of service had likely stripped him of any loyalties he had to the province and its people. Even so, Marcus grimaced, knowing that the choice to send someone of the same blood as these villagers to lay down the law had been purposeful.
Varro, the centurion called out, remind me, what hour does curfew begin?
Fourth hour, sir,
one of the men called back.
Sundown.
And what hour is it now?
Near on midnight, I'd say, sir.
Midnight.
The centurion circled the bonfire.
I relaxed the rules for you lot, I'll have you know. Tarried, so that our arrival would come late, giving you some few hours to celebrate the end of the season. My gift to the people of this village.
Pausing, the man tossed another log on the fire.
Not in my wildest dreams did I think to arrive at midnight to find you fools still flaunting the Empire's order. Spitting in the face of my generosity.
Marcus scowled, knowing that the centurion had waited until it was late enough that the villagers had believed there was no chance of a patrol showing up. Had waited until the villagers had drawn in those tasked with keeping watch before approaching. That they'd orchestrated this moment so as to catch as many individuals in violation of curfew as possible. Individuals who would now have to pay the fine. He shifted, but the legionnaire with his foot on Marcus's back only ground his heel down harder. Fury rose in his chest. He could have the bastard whipped within an inch of his life for this, if they knew who he was.
And it need not be like this, the centurion shouted. You could have your freedoms and your festivals and your fun if only you just fucking abide.
He screamed the last few words, and several of the people around Marcus began to cry, their faces full of terror. The centurion bent low over a prone man.
Pay your taxes!
Then he rounded on a woman.
Tithe your second-born boys!
Straightening, he circled around the bonfire again.
Live by the same laws as everyone else in the Empire, and all will be well in your lives.
He paused only a few feet from Marcus.
Would that I could forgive your actions tonight, but alas, I am charged with maintaining the law. So it is to me you will pay the cost of your transgressions.
He lifted a hand in signal.
Varro, line them up. Take the names of any without the coin and explain they are now in debt to the Empire and will be charged interest until they pay their fine.
Yes, sir. And the children?
The Cybernese centurion tilted his head from side to side.
I am feeling benevolent. Allow the children to return to their homes.
Get up.
A hand caught Marcus by the belt, hauling him to his feet, and Marcus found himself face to face with a grizzled legionnaire, a long scar bisecting an empty eye socket. The man's brow furrowed.
You a citizen, boy?
Yes, Marcus said from between his teeth, wiping mud from his face.
I am. Why didn't you say something?
The legionnaire brushed mud off Marcus's back.
Don't see too many citizens this far north at this time of the year. What's your business?
My father believes the Cybernese are withholding choice fur from Cylindriel's markets, Marcus lied. He sent me to purchase from the source.
smart man.
The Legionnaire slung an arm around Marcus's shoulders.
We've got a citizen here, lads. I'll get him settled before we carry on with business.
Shit. How is he supposed to get Tariana back to the inn with this bastard at his elbow? Marcus glanced toward the wagon where she'd been hiding, intending to signal at her to stay put. But Tariana was gone. His pulse roared, panic rising in his chest as he searched the shadows for any sign of her, but she and the children had disappeared. What he did see was the eyes of those he'd been celebrating with moments before, all of them fixed upon him. They'd shared their food and drink and hospitality with him, yet while he'd broken the same law as they had, his blood ensured he'd never pay a fine for it.
You didn't get this far north without discovering the Cybernese were under curfew. While you are exempt from the restrictions, you'd be wise to abide by them anyway, the Legionnaire said. Get caught up in a scrap and you might find yourself on the wrong end of a gladius, sell or not. Get my meaning?
Wise advice. And because Marcus knew how these men thought, he added, the alcohol and pretty girls got in the way of my good sense. The big man laughed and slapped Marcus on the back hard enough that he staggered.
Can't fault you that. But next time, coax the bottle and the girl up to your room before sunset. Here we are.
They'd reached the inn, and the Legionnaire pulled open the door, gesturing for Marcus to enter.
My apologies again, citizen. And good fortune with the rest of your business in Cybern.
Gratitude. Marcus gave the man a smile, then headed toward the stairs, taking them two at a time. Please be here. Hitting the top of the stairs, he turned to look down the hallway, his stomach plummeting when Tariana wasn't waiting at the door, which meant she was still out there. He needed to find her, but he had no intention of going unarmed. Jamming the key into the lock and twisting it, he flung open the door and found Tariana, standing by the fire.
Thank the gods.
She crossed the room, shoving the door shut.
I thought they'd rounded you up with the others.
Cell citizens are exempt from the curfew, he muttered. How did you get?
The children,
she interrupted.
They were able to sneak me out of the square, and they showed me a back way into the inn. But you need to get out there and make this stop. These people can't afford the fines. It will put half of them in debt to the Empire. And you know as well as anyone the rates of interest it charges.
He did. Just as he knew that the Empire was more than happy for them to be indebted to it for the rest of their lives. There's nothing I can do.
Bullshit,
Tariana snarled, glaring at him.
There's not a man out there who outranks you. And don't give me the excuse that you don't want Cassius to have warning we are coming. These people showed us kindness. We owe them.
Marcus bit the insides of his cheeks, struggling to keep his anger in check, because Tariana wasn't the cause of it. We do owe them. But if I intervene, it will only make circumstances for them worse. Striding across the room to the window, he scraped off the frost so that he could see the lines of Cybernese being fined in the square. I can go down there and order them to allow the villagers to go back to their homes. And yes, because I outrank them, they'd have to abide. But I do not outrank their legatus, and his orders come directly from the Senate. He rested his forehead against the glass. In a matter of days, these men would be back, and I assure you, they'd show no benevolence. Just saying the word made his tongue sour. I only have power when the Senate is unable to countermand me, and on this side of the world, that means I have no power at all. Her hands were balled into fists.
I hate them.
Watching the Legionnaires carrying out commands that he himself had been forced to give in a different time, in a different nation, Marcus felt guilt rise in his chest, bitter and foul, especially knowing that he'd be forced to do so again. So do I.